Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn in the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as how you utilize the information we provide today. Take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. Now, one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very demanding time in our workplace and world when character and leadership have never been more important. And as such, we have with us today a very, very special guest. His name is Dr. Joseph Hodel. Joe earned his doctorate from Michigan State University. For 20 years, he has served as the president of Character Development and Leadership, his own organization. He has developed not one but two national programs that improve the character and leadership of secondary students. The first program is the Evidence-Based Classroom Curricula, which is used in over 3,500 schools nationwide. Yes, listeners, I said 3,500 schools nationwide. The second is the App-Based Student Athlete Program, specifically designed for use by high school athletes in the athletic environment. He is also a wonderful author. He's written not one, not two, but three books. They are called Sports Role Models, books one, two, and three. Remarkable athletes and their inspiring stories of character, leadership, and sportsmanship. Great morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Joe.
Yes. Good morning, Greg. Great to be here.
The honor is ours. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you are speaking from this morning.
Sure, I'm coming from Traverse City, Michigan, which is a resort town in northern Michigan. It's just a beautiful place to be. It's just better to be here in July and August.
Well, despite that this is the end of February, it certainly made the listeners and I very jealous. It sounds like a beautiful, beautiful place, certainly. Joe, sadly, we've only got 30 minutes. We could literally spend hours talking about your incredible life, background, these amazing books you've written. We're jumping right into the deep end of the pool. When I introduced you, I mentioned Character Development and Leadership, this great organization you run. Share with us a little bit of what do you do at this great organization, please?
It's pretty simple. We've dedicated this entire company to developing the character and leadership of secondary students, and that really means high school students, middle school students, and alternative school students. And the first program is just something that's really easy to think about. Think of it as a leadership class, and there are probably about 60% of schools, high schools around this country that have a leadership class. And every state has that on the books. So we have basically a curriculum for that. So if you teach a high school leadership class, or maybe you put it into a homeroom, that sort of thing, that they contact us, and a lot of times they end up using that program. And the offshoot of that, which is the second program, is the student athlete program, and it's an app-based program designed to develop the character, leadership, and sportsmanship of high school athletes in an athletic environment. And so basically what we do is we provide five different lessons in a week that's about a particular trait that we're trying to teach. And that's short in duration, maybe like 2 minutes. And at the end of each one of those lessons, we have one reflective question to get them to focus on their own character, leadership, and sportsmanship. That answer goes to the coach, and then the coach can then bring that into practice and have conversations.
Wow, it sounds absolutely amazing. We are so blessed to have someone of your ilk today, Joe, and thank God for Monday.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the nature of athletics and athletes in America. This seems to be causing some controversy, especially lately. How do you view it? Share us from your lens, please.
Well, I don't think the sky is falling. I don't think there's maybe any more today than there was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or so forth. I think in all walks of life, whether that be, the law, doctors, teachers, and now we're talking about athletes, I think it runs the gamut. And I think you're going to see some really great athletes who are great role models. And I think you're going to see some great athletes who let you down. They let you down in terms of maybe what they do on the field, or maybe it's off the field. And I just think we need to pay attention to that. And one of the mistakes we make is that we basically think that, someone who's good at this, so maybe they can put a ball through a hoop, or they can score a touchdown, but it doesn't make them a great person. And I'm trying to make that distinction with these books.
Wow, and you've done such a magnificent job. And when you think about it, you've got people in various walks of life, maybe in the political world, maybe in the pharmaceutical world, et cetera, et cetera. You have the same thing. You've got some great people who are experts in their field to do great things. And then you have also people who are experts in their field, maybe don't do such great things. So this is not just in the sports world. And I think that's important for us to remember. Now, talking about scandal, if you will. It seems, though, when a scandal occurs in the sports world, the public absolutely goes gaga. It's just so fascinated. Why does this happen? Help us out, please, Joe.
Yeah, we certainly do that. We latch on to these stories. And I kind of think about, I don't know. I kind of close my eyes sometimes, and I see the images of people that we all know, like a Lance Armstrong who cheated. I mean, he took drugs, to performance enhancing drugs, to make him a better athlete, and he cheated. And then I think of like a Pete Rose. Even in your neck of the woods, I think of a Jerry Sandusky. I mean, that
Wow.
obviously let us down, not on the field, but off the field. And I actually think of Tiger Woods,
Oh.
2008, 2009, and I think, to kind of answer your question, is, I think of Tiger Woods, and I say, man, and I think the majority of people sit around and say, man, he's got it all. He's great at what he does. He's got all the money in the world. He's got all the fame. He's got this really attractive wife. He's got these beautiful kids. What's he doing? How could he screw that up? And then we just want to know more, and we're insatiated by it. And I just think that that's what happens with all these celebrities.
It's so fascinating because we have a paper here. I'm in the beautiful borough of Brooklyn. You may have heard of the New York Post, which is a very interesting paper. And I remember because I was just living in Brooklyn, new at the time. And when that Tiger Woods story broke, it was the front page headline or picture for literally over a month. And it seemed like everybody was just so fascinated by it, that's for sure. And what a shame, no question about that. Now, let's talk about something much more positive, these amazing books that you've written, Joe. What is your motivation? Why did you decide to write these great books?
Sure. Well, it's kind of a two-part answer, because as I was talking about the student athlete program, and we have these five different lessons, the Wednesday lesson is the Wednesday role model. So I wrote these different stories, so it covers 4 years of time. So I had to basically write 136 different stories.
Wow.
And the reason for that is because if I want an athlete or a person to be more responsible, to be more honest, to have more integrity, to try harder, have better work ethic. I want to show them examples of people who've walked the face of the earth who exemplify those traits, so that then they can look at that and say, okay, that's how it's done. You know, like when I humility. Well, what does humility mean? But if you see Barry Sanders, he does some amazing move that we've never seen. He scores a touchdown, and we're all going crazy. But what does he do? He hands the ball off to the ref.
Yes.
You know, and then you say, that's how it's done. And I think that was the main reason of why we wrote these. But the second part of the answer is that we don't we the kids never see the books because it's on an app. But every time I would write a chapter, I would give it to my friends, and they say, "Man, these are amazing. This is fantastic. I didn't know this. I didn't know this story behind the story, or I didn't know all that he went through or she went through," that sort of thing. And I just felt like, why are we saving these chapters for just like a handful of, 16-year-olds across the country? I think we all can be inspired, and we want to be inspired.
There's no question about it. Today, more than ever, I think inspiration, we are thirsting for it, and you've helped to really quench that thirst, no doubt about that. Now, I think you answered some of this question, but I'd like to peel the onion a little bit more because I can sense we've only been talking for about 11 or 12 minutes. You're an impact person. There's no doubt in my mind. What kind of impact do you hope these great books will have, Joe?
I think we want to change the reason why we look up to people. And
Wow.
of course, I've chosen sports role models, but it doesn't matter who you say your role model is. Just don't look up to them because they're great at their craft. Look up to them because of the people, the kind of person that they are. How do they give back to society? You know, how do they treat other people in sports? How do they treat the fans? How do they represent the sport? How do they talk about the owners or the coaches of the teams that they play on? And I just think that's what I really wanted people to pay attention to.
There's no question these books are having impact and will continue to have great impact. Now, as you mentioned before, over 100 athletes in these books. Now, of course, there are thousands of athletes out there. How do you go about selecting the athletes that you profile? Very curious about this.
Yeah, I wish I could. If I could share my screen with you, I could show you this big old spreadsheet of, all these different athletes and different sports, and it's enormous. It's enormous.
Wow.
I probably had, looked at, just for example, maybe 15 different golfers that could have been in there,
Really?
and at the end of the day, we only selected six. So they had to be. They had to be reasonably good at what they did as a craft, right, as a sport. But I was looking more so at the type of person they were, how they exemplified themselves. But the trick here is that each one of the athletes were selected because they exemplify a particular trait.
Share with us
Okay.
more about this, please.
Yeah, so they're not, look, they're not all saints. You know, they're not all Tony Dungy's, and Tony Dungy is a saint. I mean, he is just an unbelievable, like an Arthur Ashe. These people are just genuinely great people, character, integrity. But I also wrote about Michael Jordan. Well, he's not a saint, okay? But I wrote about him for competitiveness.
Okay.
So I'm showcasing these different traits and what it looks like. Barry Sanders is very different from a Michael Jordan, who's very different from an Arthur Ashe, and I just want to be able to portray that.
Oh, that is so wonderful. Now, it sounds like faith, spirituality, and/or religion really played a vital role for some of the athletes that you featured, and I was so heartened to see you bring these out. Would you like to share about a couple of these athletes that faith, religion, spirituality, really important?
Sure, absolutely. I was doing just a little bit of research, and I was looking at the latest poll, and there's about 73% of Americans who say they believe in God. So
Wow.
if I've got 102 athletes in this book, just by sheer odds and statistics, I'm going to have roughly 70, 75 people who are religious. And So I think that's probably true. I didn't write about it an awful lot unless it became a real significant part of the story. So let me give you how about a Bethany Hamilton? Okay. So Bethany Hamilton, she's a surfer, and they made a movie about her. And
Wow.
she had her arm bit off by a shark.
Oh.
She's a teenager. And she loses like 60% of the blood in her body, and she's near death, and she does end up surviving. And 4 weeks later, she gets back in the water and starts surfing again. And she went on to have a pretty significant career in terms of professional surfing. And now she's a mom, and
Oh my
it's a
goodness.
great story. But if I can, I'm gonna read you this just little bit. So this happened
Please.
right after her, I shouldn't say accident. She had her arm bit off. It was a tragedy,
Please.
right? So this is right after. She says, I said the other viewpoint that Bethany shared was that she believed the entire event was part of God's plan. She felt that God was using her life to inspire others. Quote, I know that God has put me in a place where I have a chance to be of help to people all over the world. There's a greater good here. Her faith and belief in this plan took a great burden off her shoulders. Instead of walking around asking why this happened to her and asking and talk, taking a woe is me attitude, she uncovered a driving purpose in her life. As she said, no woe, just go, go, go.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, she clearly said, woe is me, I'm a victim here, and yet just the opposite.
Right.
Wow, that is
Right. And then
inspiring.
she used that tragedy in her life to inspire others. And that's been her calling, is what she would
Wow,
say.
that is absolutely amazing. A couple others, maybe, faith, spirituality, religion played a vital role, certainly, in their
Sure.
lives.
So I talked a little bit about the saint, right? Tony
Yes.
Dungy.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
a lot of people, I hope your listeners would know Tony Dungy. You know, he actually, his claim to fame is that he's the first African American to coach a team to a Super Bowl victory.
I didn't realize that. Wow, this being Black History Month. Wow, that's amazing.
That's true. So he was the first, and he's just a great coach. What the thing about him now is that when players in the NFL get in trouble, the NFL send the players to Tony Dungy,
Oh my
because he's
goodness.
right. He's great at consulting with people. He's helping them find their purpose. And if I can, I'll just read you this real short one here. It says,
Please, please.
to fully understand Dungy, it is important to know about the importance of his faith as a Christian. His faith in God serves as the cornerstone of how he lives. Dungy firmly believes, I don't have the strength or wisdom to get through a single day without guidance or grace from God. This faith defines who he is. Every aspect and every decision goes back to that premise. And he constantly talks to his players as a coach and say, I want you to find your purpose. You know, our purpose is not to win a Super Bowl. Our purpose is much greater, and you need to find out what that is.
That is totally amazing. I'm old enough to remember Tony Dungy as a very, very good player, then as a Super Bowl winning coach. And if I'm not mistaken, he's been on TV or radio doing NFL games or doing analyst work or something. So this is someone who doesn't need to be humble, but to have this amazing humility.
Right.
Wow, that is something, that's for sure. Is there maybe one more you'd like to share about Joe? Faith,
Sure.
spirituality, religion.
I think Kurt Warner.
Kurt
So
Warner,
Kurt,
really?
yeah. So Kurt Warner is, it's a story that if Hollywood told the story, we wouldn't believe it. You know, here's a guy who grew up in Iowa. He was a good high school football player. He went to Northern Iowa University. He basically didn't start till his fourth year, his senior year. He does pretty well. He doesn't get drafted, but he gets a tryout with the Green Bay Packers, and he's cut on the first day.
Oh.
He goes back to Iowa. He's actually, he starts working at a grocery store. He's working the graveyard shift, making like $5.10 an hour. Working in the grocery store, and he falls in love with this woman who has two children, and
Oh.
he basically says, I need to clean up my act, and I need to be one with God. I need to be a better servant here. And he starts a Sunday Bible school. He stops swearing. He stops drinking. He
Oh.
marries this woman. He adopts these children, and then he starts to play in the Arena Football League, and things kind of turn around for him. And then he gets the tryout with who is he with?
Was it the Rams?
Yeah, the Rams. And he
Wow.
and just a short few years later, he's the MVP of the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl.
Oh
Just
my
an amazing
goodness.
story.
Oh, that is awesome. No question about it. And he's someone else today who I've heard in TV and radio and just adds so much stuff in such a class way, in such a humble way. Oh, thank you for sharing these amazing role models. Now, as mentioned before, this is our last episode in February, Black History Month, and you chart several wonderful Black athletes there. One of them, Jesse Owens, four gold medals. He wins 1936 Olympics under the watchful eye of Adolf Hitler. What must it have been like for a 22-year-old Black man to go through this experience? Share with us, Joe, all about this, please.
Yes, we tend to throw around the name Hitler-esque or Nazis, but this
Sure.
really was Hitler and it was the Nazis. Jesse goes into the 1936 Olympics and it's in Germany, and Adolf Hitler is at all the games, and
Oh.
he's got this master race theory that. That obviously Jews are bad and evil, and blacks are bad and evil, and not just bad and evil, but they need to be eradicated from the earth because they're spoiling it for everybody. And we just need to have this master race, and that will change everything around. And he obviously went to war over this. He killed, millions of people over this. But Jesse Owens was the first one in 1936 who basically. I kind of think of it as a balloon of bad ideas, of just falsehoods and stereotypes. And Jesse Owens, by winning four gold medals in the Olympics, poked a big hole in that balloon that said, there is no such thing as a master race. And I'm gonna show it to you right here.
Oh, that is so amazing. And I love your analogy of bursting that balloon there. Wow. Now, someone else that we in Brooklyn are very familiar with, of course, the great late Jackie Robinson. What he must have gone through to break the color barrier in baseball. Help us understand all that he must have endured, please, Joe.
Yes, and he was a he's a four sport athlete and at UCLA, and he served in World War II, and he was honorably discharged in 1944, and he was playing in the Negro Leagues,
Wow.
and there was the Brooklyn Dodgers owner. He believed that God, I hate using these languages, right? But the colored people, the black individuals could really play baseball, and he wanted to show that to America. And they went through a process, and they chose Jackie Robinson because he really did have the ability, the composure to handle himself and not fight back, because they knew that would be the death of this, because then that would just fuel the anger of the people that didn't want him to play. I guess the point I would like to make to you is that it was day in and day out hatred towards
Oh.
him, racism towards him, throwing things at him, calling him every name in the book. And it wasn't just once, and it's not just in this town or that town. It was everywhere, and he had to endure it every day.
The perseverance he must have had, the conviction to say, I have got to do this, even though it's painful, even though people may hate me, I'm going to proceed forward. Oh, that is so inspiring. No question about that.
And
Unfortunately, Joe,
the
we both.
death threats. Don't forget the death threats.
Oh, I never thought of that, of course.
Yeah,
Oh, my goodness.
filing cabinets full of death threats on him.
Sadly, we could talk all day, Joe. We've only got about 5 minutes. I got a couple of more
Sure.
important questions. Naturally, this show airs on WSOU in New Jersey, on St. Francis College Radio in New York. We're very curious. Did you write about any athletes, either Jersey-based or New York-based? Share with us, please.
Sure, I think the one that I was searching for this, and the one is Dick Vitale. Yeah, so I wrote about.
This. Tell us all about Dookie V or Dickie V, whatever they call him.
Sure. Well, he grew up in New Jersey. He graduated from Seton Hall,
That's right.
and he's the only announcer that we chose, and we chose him specifically for his passion. You know, the way he approaches life and the game and the enthusiasm that he has, I just think is very contagious. But he graduates from Seton Hall, and he becomes an elementary school teacher and a high school basketball coach. And within 7 years, he goes from doing that to being the coach of the Detroit Pistons with
Wow.
a couple steps along the way. And he gets fired. You know, in 1979, he gets fired. He's a lousy
Oh my God.
professional coach. He doesn't do a very good job. And ESPN calls him. There's this fledgling little network. No one's ever heard of him. The idea of having sports 24/7, you know, just that's not going to work. And he said, I'm not going to do it. There's no way. I don't know anything about broadcasting. And long story short is that he did do that. He picked it up. He's broadcasted over 1,000 college basketball games. And I would say most people love him, but there are some detractors, you know, for his style, but you got to love him for his enthusiasm.
Oh, no question about that. It's fascinating because I do recall, yes, naturally, he's one of our esteemed alums. I had thought he had come from out of state, but actually, I didn't realize it. He was born and raised here in New Jersey. Boy, that is certainly amazing. No doubt
Yeah.
about it. Now, with all the people you've included in these great three books, is there one or two maybe controversies? Not everybody agrees they should be included. Share with us, please, Joe.
Right. And remember, most of these people are not saints, right? They're not saints. They represent different traits. Okay. So, I've received emails from people around the country. Magic Johnson does not belong in there.
Oh,
Okay.
wow.
Before he was married, he had a lot of women in his life.
Yes.
Right. And to ask a 16-year-old girl who's playing basketball in high school to look up to Magic Johnson, it's a good point, right? It's a solid point. But what I would say to the contrary is that I chose him for teamwork. I chose him
Wow.
for his selflessness and how he basically revolutionized the game of basketball in terms of passing. And it really, they came up with the term triple double because of him and the type of leader that he was. So, you know, that's one. Another one that's really kind of the hot topic now is Hope Solo. Hope Solo is she's a soccer player. She was on the US national team. She's very outspoken.
Oh, wow.
She
Okay.
was the goalie. She was the goalie for a very long period of time, and she's been pulled over for a DWI,
Oh,
and
wow.
so that's kind of the thing. But just give me a second here. Her father was homeless.
Oh,
Her
my.
mother's an alcoholic.
Oh.
She grew up out in Washington, and it was just a really chaotic upbringing, and she really struggled with mental health and so forth. And what I want to be able to reach those kids who maybe have a similar chaotic life, and everybody doesn't have to have the Katie Ledecky story where the parents went to these Ivy League schools and everything was
Yes.
easy for you. I want the people that struggled, and I want to tell those stories.
Yeah, those are the ones that are especially inspiring. Joe, we've saved the most important question for last. Where can our loyal listeners purchase these three great books? How can they best follow you, please?
Sure. It's as you know, it's called Sports Role Models, Book One, Two, and Three. And this is kind of what they look like here. And you can get them at amazingrolemodels.com. Of course, you can get them on Amazon, but amazingrolemodels.com. If you're a sports fan, if you want to know the stories behind the stories, these are the kind of books for you.
Listeners, no excuse. These books are available everywhere. Pick them up. Pick them up for yourself. Pick them up. These are great gifts. I'll tell you, you know my love of sports, and I've just dove right into these. Really magnificent. Very, very factual, very enlightening, even more inspiring. I could run through a brick wall after I read some of these stories, and I'm sure you will too, and those you give these books to as well. Dr. Joseph Hotel. Well, Hodel, we can't thank you enough for being with us today, and thank God for Monday. Yes, you've enlightened us, as I just said. You really inspired us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for writing these great books. Continued success, happiness, and contribution. All this amazing work you're doing literally around the world in this area of developing character and leadership. No question about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. It's great to be with you.
Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Joe does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.